Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. We're going to read verses 25 through 29 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. In this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And let's finish on verse 29 together. Ready? For our God is a consuming fire. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for a place to where 1,000 or more of your people can gather, literally thousands of burdens, and yet we have one God that can meet every one of those needs. Father, thank you for the privilege of having a preacher, a man of God that's walked with you. Lord, may we listen. May we hear from you today so that we could take what we have been given and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'll read again the verse from which my text is taken. It's found in Hebrews 12:25. It says, See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Look back at me, if you will, please. God is saying here that there were some that turned away from Jesus while he was walking the face of this earth. And you and I would be appalled at that. How could anyone be in the presence of the Son of God and turn away from him and deny him or reject what he said to them? But he says here, it's even worse for you and me, though he this time speaks from heaven. You and I should not refuse him. You see, we get this idea, well, had I been here while Jesus was walking the face of the earth, he would have said something, I would have obeyed it. God is saying, God now speaks from heaven, and you and I better be careful that we do not refuse to do what he speaks to us about. Though you don't get to see him physically, he is still the King of Kings, he is still the Lord of Lords, and he's still God. And if we're not careful, we will look back and say, boy, had I been alive back then, I would have jumped on the bandwagon and I would have just done what Jesus said. You've got a chance to get on the bandwagon today, buddy. You have a chance, the same God, the same Bible, the same Word, the same Jesus, this same Jesus, he's alive and still here today. Though he may not be with us physically, he now speaketh from heaven. I'm glad that when God speaks to us, that he does. I'm glad that we get to hear. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. What a privilege to hear such a voice. With such a marvelous message, we get to hear from God. How terrible the thought that we would dare to refuse, and we would dare to refuse to listen as this passage speaks. Notice it says, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. How dangerous that lowly man would refuse God anything that he requests. God wants a hearing from us. God wants me and God wants you to listen. And God not only wants a hearing, God deserves a hearing. We should listen to God with no reservation. We should listen to God, making up no excuse. You say, well, I right now, I want to play during the service. God is not for that. God's not for that in the slightest. Why? We're going to hear from heaven. Now, you see, if Jesus were standing here and he were talking, you would require your children to pay attention. But you think that because Jesus is not here physically, your kids don't have to pay attention during church. I'm sorry to tell you, when the Word of God is preached, it's still God's Word. It is still to be respected. It is still to be honored. It is still to be exalted. It is still to be glorified. God's Word is still God's Word, and God is still God, and the Spirit of God is still the Spirit of God. God deserves a hearing this morning. We should listen with no reservation. We should listen without excuse. I think God tried to speak to Jeff Owens this week. I wonder, did I listen? Did I listen, or did I refuse to listen to him that was speaking from heaven? I think God tried to speak to you this week. Did you listen? I think he tried to speak to you during the Sunday school hour. Did you listen? I think he wants to speak to you during this sermon. Will you listen? Have you turned away from him that speaketh from heaven? You see, this is not him that speaketh from Wall Street, but this is him that speaketh from heaven. This is not him that speaketh from the White House. This is him that speaketh from heaven. This is not him that speaketh from Fox News. This is him that speaketh from heaven. This is not him that speaketh from NBC or CBS. This is him that speaketh from heaven. This is not him that speaketh from the USA Today, but this is him that speaketh from heaven. I'm amazed at how people can get up in the morning and turn the news on. They don't want anything to interrupt them. They don't want anything. You let me read my newspaper. You let me listen to my news. I've got news for you folks. When God speaks from the Bible, you ought to want everything around you to be still. You ought to want to make sure you lock in and you fasten in mentally on what God is saying, because I've got good news for you. Hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, Wall Street is nothing compared to the streets of gold from which God speaks. You say, well, I want to know what's going on at the White House. What's more important is what's going on in God's house. I don't care what Fox News and NBC and CBS says. I do care about what God, the God of heaven, has to say. I've got good news for man in this day. There is a God. He wrote a book, and we're to listen to it. We're to tune in. Every parent here understands the frustration of their children not listening to their words. If you've been a parent any time at all and your children are walking and moving around, you've said this: didn't I just tell you not to do that? How many times do I have to say it? And folks, if you and I, as human parents, can experience frustration when our children will not listen to our instruction, how much the more would the Heavenly Father be frustrated when His children will not listen to the instruction? I wonder how many times God looks down and says, didn't I just tell you not to do that? Didn't I just say that's wrong? How many times do I have to tell you, Christian, stop that? I wonder how frustrated God gets from heaven as our Heavenly Father, and He looks down on this earth, and you and I, as His children, we frustrate Him because of our disobedience to His Word. This last week, we took a contest trip where some people had won a trip, and we got on a cruise ship and we went down into the Atlantic Ocean and visited some islands in Nassau and some people we host. If you're a guest here, we host a conference here called the Old Paths Conference. At it, we told some pastors if they bring a certain number of visitors or whoever brought the most people from their church to our conference, we gave away a little program prize trip. We took that trip this last week. I hosted it. Brother Donnelly was with me, some people from our staff. And when we went on the trip, I don't mind boats and I don't mind water. I do have this dislike for a certain fish. It's a shark. I don't like sharks. And people keep telling me, don't worry, you don't have to be afraid of sharks. You be afraid of what you want to be afraid of. I'll be afraid of what I want to be afraid of. Well, we got off of our boat, got up on a pier, and I noticed they had two activity opportunities that we could take advantage of. The very first one, when you got off the ship, and I have to tell you, this is a stupid cruise line. We're on the ship, and I turned on the TV to get a glance at the news, and they're showing, we're out in the middle of the Atlantic, and they're showing the film The Titanic. I'm thinking, you are fools! What are you doing showing The Titanic when we're out here? And, you know, in the middle of the ocean. Well, we get off this cruise ship and we go off onto the pier, and the very first activity that you could purchase to go on while you're visiting this island is you could go out on a shark adventure. You got all these young people and they're lining up to go out and chase sharks in the Atlantic Ocean. And I just stepped to the other side of the pier and hold my wife's hand and we walked right on by. Then the very next activity, they had this glass bottom boat. Now, the shark adventure had all these young, you know, young pioneers going on the shark adventure, and then all the senior citizens were going out on the glass bottom boat. And that's what I went out on. Mrs. Owens and I, we went out on this glass bottom boat, and because I wanted to avoid the sharks. We got out there and we're cruising along and we could see through the glass bottom boat and we've seen some of the finest creatures in God's sea. Starfish. They don't bite you, you know. We seen the starfish and there was coral and all these big school of fish and everything. And I heard our fella that was giving the tour said, "Now folks, don't lean over the side of the boat." That made sense to me, but I didn't see any real threat because all there were starfish and jellyfish and things like that. So there's no real big deal. And I'm thinking, this is all right. I'm out here on the Atlantic Ocean on this little boat. We're looking through the glass bottom. We're cruising along. And all of a sudden, our tour guide said, "Sharks! Let's chase them!" The next thing you know, we're booking through the water chasing these sharks. And I'm thinking, I want my money back! I don't want to go chase the sharks. That's for the dumb pioneers. I'm the old chicken. I did not want to go. And we are chasing these sharks everywhere. But I'm going to promise you something. They had given me instruction at the beginning of the cruise and said, "Don't lean over the little banister." I promise you, folks. I didn't lean over. I wasn't leaning over getting anywhere near where those sharks were. And then this guy, he reassured us. He said, "That's a big one right there." And I'm thinking, "Oh, brother, I just watched Titanic. I'm scared of sharks anyway. I came on the glass bottom boat so I could be with these old people where we weren't going to get hurt. And what happens? We're chasing sharks throughout the Atlantic. We spent more time chasing sharks on our glass bottom boat than we did looking at the starfish." But I'll tell you for sure, I obeyed the captain's instruction. Now, I have to tell you about something else that happened. We were heading and we were getting further and further down, I guess, toward the equator. And it was, you know, where it's hot, real, real hot. And they told us, the captain said, "I already make an announcement." And he said, "Listen, folks, tomorrow you're going to want to make sure that you wear plenty of sunscreen because you're not going to think it's hot, but it's going to be hot. And you're not going to think you're going to get a sunburn, but you're going to get a sunburn. And if you're not careful, you'll come in at the end of the day and you're going to be crisp." Brother Baxter, come here for a second. Come here, Brother Baxter. We were given instructions from the captain to be careful. Now, Brother Baxter went on the cruise, and you can't see it perfectly from there, but I think while we were out, he rented a scooter. He put his baseball cap on backwards. You know the kind of backwards where you got that little plastic strap that comes across your head, and then there's a gap? You can't see it well, because I don't doubt that he has his wife's makeup on this morning covering it up. But he went out all day long on that scooter in the blazing sun. And when we came in that night, he had this great big white stripe across the top of his head like a barcode graphic. Looked like somebody had put a piece of duct tape right across the center of his forehead and yanked it off. It was as white as it could be. It was so funny. There were people we didn't even know there are about 2,000 or so people on the cruise. They were coming by staring at him at our table talking about it. I was told not to lean over the banister. I could fall in the sea and be hurt. I obeyed what the captain said. He was told to use sunscreen. He didn't obey what the captain said. What happened? He got burnt. I didn't. Thank you, Brother Baxter.
If you see Brother Baxter around, take a good look at it. You'll see. It's a little less obvious today than what it was a day or so ago, but it was the topic of conversation. Folks, we have a mighty captain. Our captain is Jesus Christ. And our captain comes along and our captain gives us instruction. You say, but I can't see the captain. I realize for 33 and a half years, people could actually look at the captain. But before that Jesus walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, He always had been and He always will be thereafter. And the very instruction that He gave for that 33 and a half years was no more the Word of God than everything that He had said before and everything that He said thereafter. It always has been and it always will be. And there are some of us, though, we don't take very seriously the Word of God. We don't take very seriously our instruction from God's Word, to the point where this verse says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Folks, let's not turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You see, let me say first of all this morning, we should not refuse to hear him because he is the highest of authority. The Word of God is the highest of authority. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:25, in that little verse, it says, "Him that speaketh from heaven." I said this earlier. Today, we're not discussing him that speaketh from the White House or him that speaketh from Wall Street. We're not discussing Fox News and CBS and NBC. Not at all. We're talking about him that speaketh from heaven. That is the highest authority. You say, well, a lot of people don't believe that anymore. Well, a lot of people are wrong. Jesus and the Word of God is the highest authority in the universe. Jesus is God and He always has been, and what He says is of God, and we ought to listen very carefully. You see, when He speaks to us, He tells us of what He knows about heaven. Can you imagine the knowledge that Jesus Christ has? Can you imagine that knowledge? Hey, He's the highest authority. He has heavenly knowledge. Heavenly knowledge is perfect knowledge. You say, Brother Owens, there's something I need to know. Then if I were you, I would get to God's book and I would let God's book tell you what you need to know. It is a book of heavenly knowledge. He, Jesus, when He speaks to us, it is of a heavenly wisdom. Hey, heavenly wisdom, which is virtually beyond our grasp. And sometimes we need to just stop and say, you know what? I cannot necessarily make sense of what He's requesting of me, but I trust Him enough, I'll just obey Him. It may not be wise for you to have blind faith in me or me to have blind faith in you, but I'll tell you somebody you can have blind faith in, your God. You can have blind faith in the Word of God and blind faith in what Jesus Christ said. He will not let you down. You see, He should not be refused, and we should not refuse to hear Him. Why? Because He is the ultimate authority. He has heavenly knowledge. He has heavenly wisdom. His advice has a 100% success rate. You will not read anything, listen to anything, go anywhere and get advice from anybody that is 100% sure unless you go to the God of the universe and you go to His book. So why should you and I not refuse to hear what He has to say? Because what He has to say comes from a wealth of heavenly knowledge and a wealth of heavenly wisdom and a wealth of heavenly advice that has a 100% success rate. Did you know that from His vantage point, He can see everything? That's why we should not refuse to hear Him. You and I, we live down here and life gets congested. You and I, we live down here and we can't see very far. We don't get to see very far, and because of that, we are very limited in what we can see. His vantage point, He speaketh from heaven. And when you speak from heaven, you get to see what's coming. You see what came before. You see what's coming after. You and I need to make sure we trust the one that speaketh from heaven. Why? Because He speaks with a heavenly knowledge. He speaks with a heavenly wisdom. He speaks with heavenly advice that's 100% successful. And He's got a vantage point that you and I do not have. There's nothing like, now, some of you, you're maybe a good deer hunter and you can hunt from the ground. You can hunt from a ground blind. I like my tree stand. You say, why? Because I can get up above. I can see what's coming. And you think, you say, boy, it sure helps to be up above. You can see what's coming in the distance. Can you imagine how well Jesus can see? Because he speaketh from heaven. He sees, he knows. Hey, nothing sneaks up on him. Nothing at all. That's why we should not refuse what he says. That's why we should not refuse it. Do you realize that when he came down from heaven, he came down with a heavenly authority? When he came down, he walked on water. That's a heavenly authority. When he came down, he made the lame to walk. He was able to forgive sins. What was that? That was a heavenly authority. Hey, picture it. Picture Jesus Christ coming and walking around in those cities, and he made the lame to walk and the blind to see, and he walked on the water and he calmed the storms. Now, folks, you say, I'll tell you what, that is amazing. What he was able to do back then, folks, what he was able to do back then, he can still do today. His word is still God's word. And we sometimes say, boy, I wish I would have been back in Jesus's day. This is still Jesus's day. He always has been. He always will be. His word is still his word. It's as powerful as it's ever been. You see, he came down from heaven with a heavenly authority. He's never given it up. He had it all the time before he came to this earth. He had it all the time he was on this earth. He went back to heaven. He had that heavenly authority and power all that time, from the time that he died, was resurrected, to this very day. See, when Jesus speaks, he speaks through his eternal spirit. The word of God is as important today as it ever has been. And it is no less important than it's ever been. Whether Jesus spake it and you got to watch the words come out of his lips or not is irrelevant. If it's in his book, it's his word. Now, I'm not here to make you mad at me, but if you have in your Bible some red letters, and you say those red letters, that's the part that Jesus spake. I'm not against you having those red letters, but I'm going to tell you something. Every bit of it Jesus spake. Whether it's printed in red or it's printed in black, it's all God's word. And we need to respect God's word. And I'm telling you, we should not refuse to hear him. Why? Because he is of the highest authority. He is the one that has heavenly knowledge and heavenly wisdom. He gives perfect heavenly advice. He has the heavenly viewpoint or vantage point. He is the same one that walked the face of this earth and did all those miracles. He was the one responsible for the miracles before his physical birth and during his physical life and after his physical death. He's the same God that he always has been. And his word is just as important as it always has been. He wants you and I to obey it. The captain comes along and says, you be careful. You be careful. If you'll follow my instructions, you'll be safe. But if you don't follow my instructions, you'll hurt yourself. And we need to make sure that we understand the word of God. God's trying to speak to us, and daily and weekly. And we need to listen to what God says. Secondly, I think he says, refuse him not. And there are many reasons why we should not refuse him. I said, don't refuse him, because his word is that of the highest authority. But now, why would we not want to refuse him? Why would we not want to turn away his word and his instruction? Well, I don't think we should refuse him because of the greatness of his word. You know that his word is 100% true? It's not 99% true, it's 100% true. His word is excellent. His word is true. Nothing is better for you than the word of God. Nothing is better for you than the word of God. If you can only have one book, you better get the Bible. If you could only hear one thing read, you better pick the Bible. The word of God. You see, refuse him not because of the greatness of his word. I say refuse him not because he comes to us in love. Oh, what a wonderful thing, the thought that God comes to you and I in love. Did he have to do that? Not necessarily. God could have chosen to do what God wanted to do, but God chose to come to man in love. He comes to us in love in his word. I thank God for that. And he tells us, if we want to express our love to him, we need to obey his word. Here God, the God of the universe, comes along. He said, I'll come, I'll approach you in love. I want you to see that I love you. He said, if you want to show that you love me, you need to obey my word. His word is an expression of his love. God is love. God loves you. God's word is a love note written to me and to you. Our obedience is our way to prove our love to Him. You say, boy, I meet people who say, they're to me, they're religious, kind of mushy religious. I love God, but they're not doing anything for God. They're not obeying God. But they say, oh, how much I love Him. If you love Him, you will obey Him. If you love Him, you'll do what His Word says. And so, hey, and look, we understand that. Husband and wife, if a husband, he looks at his wife and he says, honey, I just love you, but he never does right by her. He never treats her right. He never meets her needs. She's sitting back thinking, your talk is cheap. If you love me, let me see a little more than you just say it. Let me see it in your actions. And folks, for you to say that you love God and disobey His Word, you're fooling yourself. If you love God, you're going to obey His Word. His Word is excellent. His Word is the great Word of the God of the universe. But He comes to us in love. Our obedience is our way to prove our love to Him. He deserves our love and not our rejection. When you hear the Word of God, you ought to sit up and pay attention. You ought to take it a little more seriously than what we take it. I think one of the dangers in a church like ours, constant preaching. I mean, there's preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. We can have a baseball game and we set the boys down and we'll preach a little of the Bible to them. We can have a basketball game and over in the locker room somebody's got the Bible out talking about the Bible. We can have a cheerleading practice and everybody's sitting around with the Bible out. You can go to a choir practice and Brother Nash may teach something from the Bible. Around here it's the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. But here's what'll happen to you folks. If you're not careful, you'll hear it and 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 all of a sudden your ears get numb to it and you forget that that great book is God's Word and that is the Word of God that He gave us, that He preserved for us, and He made it for us to live it and respect it and obey it. But we hear so much of it, it's same old, heard it before. Hey, we better be careful that we don't refuse the preaching of the Word of God. We better make sure that we don't refuse the power of that Word of God. We shouldn't refuse it because of the greatness of His Word. We shouldn't refuse it because He wrote it and gives it to us because He loves us. We shouldn't refuse it knowing, listen folks, if you and I refuse the Word of God, we're doing exactly what Satan wants us to do. That's why we shouldn't refuse it. We shouldn't refuse it because that's what Satan wants you to do. When you refuse God as He speaks, you are fulfilling Satan's will for your life. You are giving Satan victory. Whatever it is right now in your life, maybe God spoke to you on Monday or Tuesday or maybe Wednesday night at church or Thursday in your Bible reading or Friday in some little devotional that you had in some ministry around here. Maybe it was in Sunday school. Whatever God has spoken to you about that you said to God, no, God, I'm not going to listen to that. Satan threw a party and he said, look, they said no to God. That's exactly what I wanted. Remember, when you refuse God, you are saying yes to what Satan wants. Your refusing is Satan's victory in your life. Don't help Satan hurt God through your disobedience to the Word of God. Don't refuse him. Don't refuse him. Don't refuse him because of the excellence of his word. Don't refuse him because that's what Satan wants you to do. Don't refuse him because it is his expression of his love to you, and your obedience to his word is an expression of your love to him. Don't refuse him because some of you have already refused him too long. There's some people in here, you've been saying no to God about something that's in your life or something that either should not be there or something that should be there that's not. You've been saying no a little too long. Now my friend, God is a patient God. And God is a merciful God. But I do need to warn you, God's patience runs out. God's mercy can wane. You can say no to God and say no to God and say no to God and refuse to obey only so long. And before long, things are going to fall apart on you more than what they already are falling apart. You know, the Bible actually says if you reject the Holy Spirit of God long enough, His voice will get quieter
and quieter and quieter. And before long, you won't even be bothered by your sin anymore. Why? He tried to get your attention. He yelled. He screamed. He made an issue of it. You came to church and God hit your sin. You came to church and God again touched on your sin. And you came to church and God again touched on your sin. But every time you said, no, 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 not going to listen. And before long, his voice became quieter and quieter. Now, the preacher can preach on your sin. You don't give it a second thought. It's like water off a duck's back. You're not even bothered anymore. Let's not refuse to hear him that speaketh from heaven. Why? God loves you. Why? For you to refuse is for you to give the victory to Satan. Why? Because of the greatness of his word. Why? Because if we refuse him long enough, it won't be long until he may not speak to your heart like he once did. You may find yourself living comfortably in a sin that used to make you miserable. Don't refuse his word. Hey, let me tell you another reason not to refuse the word of God. Because God can be trusted. God can be trusted. If God tells you something, God will keep his word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, the human race can be untrustworthy, but God's always trustworthy. You can bank on God 100%. You say, well, Brother Owens, I was banking on God 100%. It didn't turn out the way I thought it should turn out. I'll promise you, it wasn't God's fault. It was either your fault or some other human being's fault. But it was not God's fault. God is 100% trustworthy. God never lies. God never goes back on his word. You see, this passage of scripture, it says, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Why should we not turn away from him that speaketh in heaven? Because he has heavenly knowledge. Because he has heavenly wisdom. Because he gives heavenly advice. He has a heavenly vantage point. He came down with a power that people got to see when he was here in a human body. But it was the same power that he still has to this very day. And we should not refuse to hear his word because of how great this book is. We should not refuse it because he comes to us in love. We should not refuse it because to do so is for you and I to give Satan his way in our life. And some of us has waited too long. You say, I'm not sure I can trust him. You can trust God more than you can trust yourself. We're liars. We'll go back on our word. But God won't. You have too much confidence in you. Well, the way I see it, you better want to see it the way God sees it. You see, turning away from him that speaketh from heaven. How do we do this? How is it that we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Well, I think sometimes we turn away from it by not hearing him at all. You say, how's that? We don't come to church to hear him speak. You know, every time you miss church, you miss something God wanted to say to you. Every time you miss church, you miss something God wants to say to you. Every time you miss your Bible reading time, you miss something God wanted to say to you. I'm for us coming to church and being fed from the Word of God at church, and that's how it ought to be. But I'm going to tell you all something. You ought to be being fed from the Word of God at your house, not just at the church house. If the only time that you're getting any Bible is when you come to church, you are a weak Christian. I said, if the only time you're getting any Bible is when you come to church, you are a weak Christian. You should be 5 or 6 times stronger than what you are. You say 5 or 6 times? Yeah. You ought to be getting Bible on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday. The Bible's the Word of God. And you're to come here and I'll preach it to you. But you ought to be getting some Bible at home. How in the world, though, do we refuse him that speaketh from heaven? By not coming to church.
Now, you didn't plan it that way. You didn't say, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll come up with a good excuse not to go to church so I don't have to hear God speak. No, you came up with some other way of wording it, but the truth is, you denied the God that speaketh from heaven to speak to your heart because you missed church. I think sometimes we refuse to hear Him that speaketh by not listening with our whole heart. We don't listen with our whole heart. This generation is a generation of lazy listeners. Lazy listeners. A teacher can teach exactly what you need, and you only hear half of what was said. And it is not the teacher's inability to teach, it is the listener's laziness about listening. I don't know how to describe it, but I think we have lazy minds today.
Yes, sir.
This sounds crazy, but it probably wouldn't hurt that some people put their calculators away for a little while and learn how to do their multiplication tables again.
Yes,
it probably would not hurt that you learn how to use a dictionary. We have become so lazy. We have everything at our fingertips. It wouldn't hurt some people to learn how to research again.
Yes.
How to look it up and find it and dig for it and want it and scratch and figure out a way to get the information that we need. But today we live in a lazy generation. Everything's at our fingertips. Everything is so simple. Hey folks, listen to me now. We've got to be a little more aggressive in our listening. I can remember while I was in Bible college, I was very tired. I had a wife. I had 4 children. I didn't have a scholarship, didn't have a grant, paid for every penny of my colleging. I had to pay cash for it. I would work 40 to 60 hours a week in the machine shop where I worked, take 18 to 20 hours of college level credits. And I'll tell you something, I would go to my classes and I would be tired. I'd sleep about 3.5 hours every night, 5-6 days a week, and I would go to class and I would be weary and I would be tired. But I'll tell you what I did. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn so bad, I made me pay attention. I had to shake myself. I had to make myself. I had to make myself pay attention. But you know, today, the average person comes to church and they won't make themselves pay attention. I thank God for you parents that make your kids pay attention during church. The flesh naturally wants to play and laugh and giggle and pass notes and play with matchbox cars. But really what we ought to be doing in church is learning. That's what we're here for. And I'm not teaching you from a book written by a man. I'm teaching you from the book written by the God of the universe. Well, so we miss it. How? We just don't come to church and we miss it. How do we do that? We're lazy listeners. We miss it. How? Some people just refuse to believe the Bible. You think you know better than God. You think God's outdated. You think God's old-fashioned. Some simple little truth that you disagree with, you just say, well, that just can't be so. Well, if God wrote it in the Bible, it is so. And if I've got to choose who I'm going to believe, you, a liar, or him, the one that always tells the truth, I think I'll believe him. Let God be true and every man be a liar. But you see, we refuse him. How do we do it? We don't show up for church. We don't show up for our Bible time. We refuse him. How do we do it? We refuse him by being lazy listeners. We refuse him. How do we do it? We refuse to believe what he tells us. I think sometimes we refuse to believe because of our approach in our listening. We listen to criticize rather than listen to grow and obey. See, some people hear the Word of God and they're hunting for problems instead of praises. Some people come to hear the Word of God and you search for your gripes instead of seeing His greatness. You spiritually nitpick. You major on the minor issues that are in your brain instead of the major issues that God's trying to teach. We're always looking. We're just hoping. I hope this guy stumbles onto one of my disagreements with him. That boils my blood. You ought to be looking for the way that you agree with God. You see, sometimes it's not whether we're listening, it is our approach to our listening. Did you come to critique? Or did you come to grow in God's grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I think sometimes we refuse Him by being offended with what's said. Often, we the Bible is preached and it reveals us to ourselves and we're offended with that. Folks, we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And this is a perfect book written by a perfect God. And anybody that's going to preach it, I suppose somewhere along the way, you and I are going to get our toes stepped on. I do not see how preachers preach the Word of God without offending people. How do you do it? I was thinking the other day, if you all ever put an application together and you're looking for a pastor, let me tell you some things to put on it. You need to find a guy who, if a husband and wife come to church and the husband thinks it's too hot in the auditorium and the wife thinks it's too cold and they're both griping to you at the same time, find a pastor that can handle that situation right there, baby. You find somebody. Now, here's what you're going to have to find. You better find someone. You know what you're going to... You got somebody sitting in pew number one. They like the loud preaching. You got somebody sitting in pew number two. They like the soft preaching. Make sure you pick a pastor that can do both at the same time. You would be amazed at the opinion of the human race. And everybody wants everybody to be kept happy. Some of the best advice I could give some of you young preacher boys is to tell you, you're just not going to keep everybody happy. So why don't you just cut loose and try to make God happy? You just can't do it. We've got to realize that the preaching of the Word of God is the ultimate purpose of the church. And if you're not careful, every time you turn around, you're going to be offended. Hey, we're going to be offended, I suppose, if we're in sin. And I think we get that way every once in a while. Offended with how personally the Bible rebukes you. Offended with how personally you seem to take it. You see, how do we refuse Him? I think we refuse Him by not showing up and hearing Him. I think we refuse Him by lazy listening. I think we refuse Him because we just decide there's some parts of the Bible we will not believe. I think we refuse Him by critiquing His Word instead of accepting it. Then we're offended by it. I think sometimes we can even twist His words. We try to change His words to agree with us. That's where we say, well, the way I see it. It doesn't matter how we see it, folks. It matters what God says. What's important is the way that He sees it. I think sometimes we refuse Him. Now, you might find this hard to believe, but you know there are people that just boldly say no to God. There is somebody in this auditorium this morning, you've seen something in the Bible, you've heard it preached, you know it's there, and you have just said, no. No. You say, God, leave me alone. You fight your own conscience over that issue. And here's what we'll do. If we can find somebody else that is fighting their own conscience about that issue, we'll find us a little clique of people that are going to deny that issue. And we'll find strength in our numbers. You'd be shocked how many people cruise around the church looking for somebody that disagrees with the very same thing, and that becomes their clique. I'm looking. My radar, beep, 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 beep. Yeah, we disagree. Let's agree to disagree. We'll be buddies. I promise you, happens in churches all over the place. Turn on your disagreement radar. Find the ones that agree with you. We better find the ones that agree with God. God's Word is what makes a difference. What in the world would cause us to refuse? What would it cause us? Well, I think we refuse because of indifference. You simply just are not concerned. You simply are not interested in living for Him. The results of indifference is rejection of many good things. Let me tell you all something. Some of you will find out how much character you have. Because it's easy to get excited about the things of God for a little while. And after a little while, the newness of some of it wears off, the excitement of some of it wears off, and it boils down to the fact that you believe that's God's Word, and you're going to live for Him, whether it's exciting, or fun, or new, or thrilling. That's why some of you guys have been called to preach, you're going to last for about 5 or 6 years, and the excitement's going to wear off. And you're going to find out you got to get up in the morning, you got to fight the devil all day long, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, same old, a human race, that's really uninterested in giving too much to God, and you're going to face it all the way to the end of your journey. And when the excitement wears off, you say, I just about had it with this. Maybe I could find me another church and they've got something new and exciting for me. You find out what kind of character you have. Boy, they come and go and 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 come and go. And it's not because the Bible's coming and going. It's because people's character wanes. It wanes so much. What would cause us to refuse to hear Him that speaketh from heaven? It's an indifference. Hey, I'll tell you this. It's a procrastination too. Always tomorrow. Tomorrow. Well, someday. Someday I'll get around to that. Someday I'll decide to become a soul winner. Someday I'll clean up that part of my life. Eventually. For some of you, that's your life story. Always putting it off. Another day, another day, another day, another time, eventually. I think sometimes we find ourselves refusing to hear Him that speaketh from heaven because we're afraid of our friends and we're afraid of the world. Do you fear your friends more than you fear God? So you teenagers, this would be very good for you to hear. Some of you are so afraid of your friends, you'll obey your friends over obey God. You let your friends be more influential in your life than God. Look, if the Bible says it and you're supposed to be doing it, you do it. You say, but I might lose friends. Not real friends, you won't. Do you fear what people will think of you if you obey the Bible? Now, there's some adults here. You're afraid if you carried your Bible into work and people found out you went to church and you love God, there might be some people down at work turn on you. Well, I've got news for you. They'd turn on Jesus too. They turned on somebody long before you came by. Won't you let your friends keep you from listening to the Word of God? Don't be indifferent. Don't procrastinate. Don't be afraid of your friends. Don't be afraid of the world. I think there's some of you, you live in depression and despair. You're so depressed you don't believe that even God's Word can help you. You think your despair and your depression is greater than God. Well, it's not. You get in the Bible and obey the Bible. God will help you. I think sometimes we're virtually self-righteous. I think we want to set our own standard for our living. We want to be our own moral compass. I'm going to make my own decision about what the spiritual standards are to be in my life. Folks, never are we to set our own standard. God sets the standard. I think there are actually people that have a hatred for holiness. You don't want to live according to the Bible. You know, there are people that love their lust. You say, I'm busy lusting, leave me alone. I'm busy fulfilling the lust of my flesh, now leave me alone. I'm going to do what makes me feel good, even if God told me not to do it. What are you doing? You're refusing the Word of God. You're refusing it. Folks, no matter who you are, if you're a brand new Christian, or if you've been saved and in this church for 50 or 60 years, let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. God speaks to us far more than we obey Him. God is not done speaking to anybody that's still alive. And we should never refuse what God has for us. It said, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Folks, as if Jesus Christ were alive and on this earth today, that's how you and I are to respond and obey the Word of God. It is the highest authority anywhere in the universe. You need to understand how great God's Word is. You understand that He loves us. That's why He gave it to us. And if we don't do what God said, we are letting Satan have the victory, and we have refused him too long, and he can be trusted. Don't trust yourself. Trust God. You say, how in the world do we do it? How do we refuse God? That Jesus is not here in person. How do we turn away from Him? We don't show up at church where the Bible is preached. What do? We listen and we're lazy, and we don't concentrate on what's being said. We refuse to believe. We look to criticize the Word of God and the preaching rather than obey it. We get offended. We twist His words. Sometimes we flat out say no and attack the Word of God. What happens? Well, we get indifferent. We procrastinate. We fear our friends. We live in our depression, our despair. Folks, listen. The Word of God is important to us. It's important to us. What are the results? What are the results of refusing the Word of God? There's a story in the Bible about a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. God told them what to do with their money, and they didn't do it. They died. There are people that die from refusing to do what they know the Word of God tells them to do. I'm not here, nor would I pass judgment on anybody. I don't think that's my place. It is my place to preach the Word of God. Let me tell you, you do what you want to do in denial of what God told you to do, you may end up dead. You say, that's tough preaching. That's true preaching. Say, well, I just have a difference with God. If I were you, I wouldn't advertise it. And I'd get that difference right as fast as I could. Because Ananias and Sapphira chose to do what they wanted to do with their money. And God said, that's it. I've had it with you. They fell over dead. You look at the story of the children of Israel. They refused to listen to Moses. So the Bible says that they wandered in the wilderness for years. There's a reason why some of you in your life and in your Christianity, you're just wandering aimlessly. There's no growth. There's no victory. That's because you refuse to do some of the things God's taught you to do. And for year after year after year, all they did was complain. All they did was murmur. All they did was gripe and complain. And they wandered in the wilderness all those years, never really seeing the spiritual victory that they should have seen. And that's what will happen to you if you deny the Word of God. You can die if you deny the Word of God. You can have a fruitless, lazy, unproductive life without victory if you deny the Word of God. You even go to the point, there's a fellow by the name of Judas in the Bible. He ran around with Jesus. He was there when Jesus himself in a body was on the face of this earth. Judas denied salvation. He died and went to hell. You might say, well, Brother Owens, if Jesus were here today and he asked me to trust him as Savior, I'd get saved. Salvation is as real today as it was the day that Jesus Christ lived on the face of this earth. Heaven is as real as it was for the three that hung on the crosses on Golgotha. Hell is as real as it is for Judas who denied Christ. You didn't have to be there the day that Jesus was alive walking the face of this earth to have an impact on you in regard to the Word of God. God even said in the passage of Scripture from Hebrews, He said, you think it's bad if somebody rejected Him back then? He said, it's even worse that He's speaking to you from heaven's streets. He's speaking from heaven to you today. If you're not saved, you better get saved. You better get saved. You see, He said, if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven, we watch person after person get saved here. And I'll tell you what causes that. The Holy Spirit of God draws them. You say, from where? From heaven. From heaven. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to recommend to you that you get saved. If you're here today and you are saved, I want to recommend that you take seriously God speaking to you from heaven. Don't refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not saved, I wish you'd trust Christ as Savior. If you're here today and you say, you know, Brother Owens, I'm in church and I'm a decent person. Folks, I have to tell you, decent people have to get saved too. You say, well, I'm kind of a religious person. Religious people have to get saved. You got to realize that you're a sinner. You've got to realize that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. Sinners that don't get saved die and go to hell. But Jesus made heaven available through His death, burial, and resurrection. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Don't refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. Don't refuse it. Don't refuse God. Don't refuse Him saving you. Don't refuse it. You get saved today. Who here would say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved, but I think God is speaking to me from heaven. He wants to save me. He wants to take me to heaven when I die. He's spoken to my heart today, and I don't want to refuse Him that speaketh from heaven. I want Him to save me today. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. And I think God's speaking to my heart about it. I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, that's what I need. I need to trust Christ. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, that's me. I see that hand. God bless you. Who else? I'm not on my way to heaven, but God is speaking to me from heaven. He wants to save me. I need to be born again. I'll not refuse Him that speaketh from heaven today. And you'll raise your hand with these that have raised their hand. Say, that's me. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Those of you that just raise your hands, in just a moment, we're going to have a thing called the altar call. In a matter of a few minutes, we're going to have the instrumentalists begin to play and the choir will sing. All of us in a moment will stand to our feet. The men that are sitting on this platform will leave the platform in just a moment. When they leave the platform, they'll step down off of the platform and they'll post themselves on the lower level at the end of each aisle down front here. And if you're not saved, you just leave your seat. You walk up to one of the men that'll be standing down front and you tell them, you say to them, I want to be saved, and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Don't let anything stop you from coming. You'll see, we'll do that in just a minute. I'll help you to know when to come. Hey, but let me ask you this. Is there somebody that's here today and you're saved and you're refusing to hear him that speaketh from heaven? You're refusing him by not being in church like you ought to. Maybe you're refusing by just saying no to God. There's something in your life and you have just said no to God. Who knows? What is it? Are you refusing to hear him? Who here today would say, preacher, in my heart, in my life, there's an issue about which I have refused to hear him. And God has spoken to my heart about it today. I need to get something straightened out with him. Will you raise your hand and say, that's me? I see hands up all over the place. If you need the altar, why don't you come today? Won't you come to this altar and get on your knees? Somebody here, you've been saved, you've never made it public. Won't you come? Somebody here, you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Why don't you come? He tells us to make public our salvation. He tells us to get baptized. He tells us those things. Don't refuse to hear him. What is it you're refusing to hear? I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you're not saved, I want you to come. And as you come, the men standing in the aisle, you walk up to them and tell them, say, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We'll show you how to be born again. Don't refuse him that speaketh from heaven. Don't refuse him. If God's spoken to your heart about getting born again, you come. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. The Bible teaches you to get baptized after your salvation. Baptism will not save you. Baptism is a step of obedience that somebody takes after they've been saved. God tells us that from the Bible. Don't refuse to hear him that speaketh from heaven. If you've not been baptized after your salvation, you come. Somebody in here, you're living in a sin. You know God spoke into your heart about it. It's time for you to get it cared for. Don't refuse to hear him that speaketh from heaven. You're not faithful to church. What are you doing? You're refusing to hear him that speaketh from heaven. Don't do it. You say, well, if Jesus were here, I would listen more intensely. It says here, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Somehow God puts intense emphasis on the fact that maybe you did not get to hear Jesus in person while he walked the face of this earth, but God said, we get to hear him from heaven. So what do we get to hear? We get to hear that heavenly knowledge and that heavenly wisdom, and we get to see from that heavenly vantage point. If you're not saved, you need to come and get born again. If you're saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never been baptized, maybe you're away from God. Maybe you're backslidden. You need to come back to God. Maybe you need to come rededicate your life today. Come back to God and say, God, I'm away from you. It's time to get something straightened out here. Maybe you need to come. Somebody, you've refused to hear him by not reading your Bible. You refuse to hear him by not coming to church like you ought to come to church. You used to be faithful at all the services. Now you hit and miss, and oh, you may come by or you may not. But have you decided you know something better in your life? Think you got a better way of doing it? Come, if you're not saved, walk up to one of the men down front and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come and present yourself. Somebody needs to rededicate your life to reading your Bible. Refusing to hear him that speak from heaven. Refusing by not coming to church. Refusing by rejecting the Holy Spirit. Refusing by not reading your Bible.
refusing because of your complacency and laziness in our listening. This is the last time through the song, please, choir. God bless you, choir, congregation, if you'd like to have a seat there.